The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another one of our programs here on Tony Curry Radio. Everything you need to know. Today, Terry Quillian, my usual partner in crime, is not with me. So we're going to forge on without her, and we hope you enjoy the program. So the show we had been talking about doing, kind of a continuation of last week's theme. I hope you caught the show because I think it's a legitimate concern that all Americans, no matter what your ideology or political affiliation is, probably should be concerned that our commander-in-chief doesn't appear to be commanding anything. He seems to be the one being commanded, but we had some more information on that. But since Terry is not available for today's broadcast, this is a subject that I've been wanting to talk about myself for quite a while, and I apologize in advance because preparation is not something that has really gone into this except for a lot of thought over a long period of time. So it may just turn out that this is going to be a little bit of a rambling effort. And if I'm redundant or repetitive in any way, I apologize in advance. But I think I have an interesting idea to convey, and maybe in a perspective that, you know, we've gotten away from a little bit, and maybe we shouldn't have. And a lot of the things I'm going to talk about are sort of idealistic, maybe, you know, a fantasy, perhaps the reality of implementing a lot of these ideas is something that's going to prove to be too vexing to ever see come to fruition. But the bottom line is, I think it's a worthwhile subject. And I'll start it by saying that a recent poll showed that 88% of Americans, 88% are concerned that this country is going in the wrong direction. That's an astounding number. When's the last time you've been familiar with 88% of people? Let's put it in more practical perspective. If you got 100 people in a room and you threw out a subject, How often do you think you're going to get 88% to say, yeah, you might be onto something there. Yeah, I agree with that. Not very often. So that's an astounding number to me. And I think it speaks just loudly to the fact that, you know, people might think we're going in the wrong direction for just a variety of reasons. We've gotten so divided in terms of, again, party and ideology and philosophy that, you know, there's a myriad of things that are happening that are affecting all of us collectively. And I think the reason that number is so high is because there's negative connotations right now that have really completely taken over so many of the positive things that we are blessed with and should be thankful for every day. Primarily, the biggest word in terms of my beliefs are freedom. And freedom is not a word that you should be taken lightly. It's probably the most important concept of the human condition. So 88% of people think we are kind of going in the wrong direction. And that's something that's alarming, and what can we do about it? You know, again, the reasons are widespread. We've got an out-of-control rate of inflation, the highest in history, the gas prices, the fuel, the energy costs. Wait till you start getting your bills now that it's so hot in the middle of summer. Energy costs are going to skyrocket. It's so difficult. I can't even imagine that the stress it's putting on household budgets all across the country, and everybody feels it, no matter what your economic situation is. In the meantime, we've got runaway crime rates. We've got a lot of problems on our borders where millions of people are coming in illegally that have to be cared for and taken care of from an economic and humanitarian standpoint. It's really kind of a rough time here. And again, I'm not pointing the finger at anybody that's currently in charge, although we can do a whole series of shows on how this current administration has exacerbated a lot of these problems. But that's not the focus here today. I remember it was probably 6 or 7 years ago that I was watching with horror reports from Venezuela, which was a very successful oil-rich country with a strong economy, a corrupt government. But it was functioning well, and certainly there were reforms that needed to be made. And Venezuela, as you know, was kind of taken over by a strong-arm dictatorship, and you just watched in horror as the economy just spiraled out of control. Inflation was just through the roof. Unemployment was just at record levels. The economy of all of the country basically collapsed. And I was thinking how horrible that is for those people. And here, not to that same extreme, because we don't have a dictatorship in the government. It's a lot of other factors that have played into where we are right now. But we more at this very moment resemble Venezuela than we do our own country. And there's reasons for that. And I've got some ideas on how maybe we can start to address some of these directions we're going that, you know, let's face it, we don't want to go. You know, one of my, and I've got many heroes, but certainly from just a common sense perspective, former President Ronald Reagan had a couple of statements, a couple of famous declarations that I think really fit these times because he was sort of a foreseer. He always said, we're only one generation away from the collapse of our, you know, free enterprise, freedom-based individual liberty system. And we're teetering dangerously on the edge of depending on big government to solve all of our problems. And Ronald Reagan famously said, people that look to government to solve their problems need to realize government is the problem. What a profound statement that was. And my favorite Reagan quote of all time, and it's something that bears significant thought as well, America is a country with a government. It can never be allowed to be the other way around. I think we are getting closer and closer to those warnings coming to fruition, and it's very terrifying. You know, my idea is basically to start to look away. Let's not look to Washington. Let's not look to professional multi-million-dollar politicians who are really serving their own interests, not the interests of the citizens of this country. It's kind of defeating the whole purpose of representative government. Back in the days of the framers of our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, these guys envisioned the community-based situations of people getting together and sending their best and brightest to Washington to pass some laws and then get back in time to run their businesses or harvest their crops. This concept of full-time, lifelong politicians is just not something that they ever envisioned. And it has become a complete vocation unto itself, and that really wasn't the intention. And it really leads to a lot of problems. It amazes me that Americans just accept and kind of shrug off the fact that people of modest to you know, some degree of successful means manage to get to Washington in these jobs of elected officials and even the bureaucratic appointments. These people that enter into this industry go up there, you know, kind of regular folks, But when they come out, if they serve a significant amount of time, are worth millions and millions of dollars. Harry Reid, the longtime senator from Nevada, had basically undergone bankruptcy just a couple of years before first being elected as a senator in Nevada. After serving like four terms, I think maybe even five terms in Washington, Harry Reid retired, amassing a fortune of over $50 million. Now, these jobs pay, I think the House representative, congressman makes about $180,000 a year in salary, a senator, $225,000, I think, is the current rate. But do the math. I don't care if you're there 20 years. That doesn't add up to tens of millions of dollars. So ask yourself, why do these people fight so hard and run for re-election from the first minute that they arrive in Washington? And the reason is that's the best gig in the world. It's become a full-scale self-service entity. When John McCain passed away, watching his funeral, one of the eulogizers said, John McCain gave 60 years of public service to his country. Well, you know, everybody knows John McCain served in the military, was tragically a prisoner of war, and endured unspeakable abuse and torture in that time. But that was about a 15-year period between his military service and when he was finally released at the end of the Vietnam War. And he came back and got into politics. And for the next four decades, for 40 years, I'm sorry, I don't count that as public service, because John McCain emerged as a multi-gazillionaire. I'm sorry, maybe I'm skeptical, maybe I'm, you know, just jaded, but I believe that we have a really terribly broken political system. So my solution, let's not look to millionaires in Washington that are only interested in their fortunes and vitality and staying power to remain in the best job on earth. I think we need to go back to our heritage, our roots, and really the spirit of how all of this started. And that is, and if it only starts in one or two communities, or maybe, you know, just somebody somewhere needs to organize and take a stand. But I think the solution to getting us back on track and going the directions that Americans want us to go is to get back to our own communities, gather our best and brightest, our most successful, our business leaders, our city officials, our city or county officials, our religious leaders, different people from all different walks of life, you know, educators, law enforcement folks, people that have overcome really rough circumstances to achieve greatness, that could be role models. Because I think we live in a time where, sadly, it's more of a defeatist attitude now than an optimistic one. And that's a shame. We've got generational problems of people in low economic situations who don't have access to great educational opportunities, who don't understand all of that's available to them in different paths that can be chosen. A really good example of that, I have a close friend who was working for a company in Nashville and came back from a business trip late at night and had some paperwork that he wanted to wrap up before he went home. He went into his office late at night and nobody was there except for the cleaning crew. And he said he got to talking to a young lady who was, you know, emptying his trash can and tidying up his office and he said, no, come on, I'm fine. Do what you got to do. And he said they got into a little bit of a discussion, found out she was a senior in high school. He asked her what she wanted to do. She said she didn't know. He said, do you have anything you're interested in? I can't remember exactly what she told him, but he said, are you thinking about going to college? And she said, no, I don't think that's for me. And he encouraged her to at least take a look at that, especially if there's some things that she was interested in and maybe it could lead to some opportunities for her. He even offered to give a card. He had a good friend that was at Tennessee State University right there in Nashville that was in the admissions office. Long and short of the story was she left the office. The next day he was called in to the general manager's office of this of his business and told that her mother, the young lady's mother, had called and was very upset that he was putting a bunch of crazy ideas in her head, because in her family, we don't go to college, we go to work. And maybe, you know, this is a bad example, but it really always made an impression on me, that story, because I think people's dreams and people's aspirations and what people are good at are being largely wasted now, because they don't see the opportunities. They don't see the chance that there's a different path. They're kind of ruled by the fact that maybe their family's been in bad economic circumstances, whatever means that resulted in that happening, but they're kind of trapped by, you know, having to go to bad schools and not getting a quality education. Again, the emphasis, I fear, now is on not on the young people, the students, but it's on the government officials and the teachers' unions, and all of their interests seem to take priority over what's best for our kids. And, you know, I think we've got a couple of lost generations that have been deprived of the American dream. And in my mind, that's a tragedy. I think communities need to rally with their leaders, and you can't start at the late high school or even late teen area. I think you need to get into schools in like the middle school area, the sixth, seventh, eighth graders. Find out who these kids are. Let's find out what they think, what their dreams are, what their skill sets are. Let's reimagine education and try to pave the way for, you know, if one of these young people aspires to do something, they need to be made aware that anything's possible. And all of us kind of assume that everybody knows that, but I'm not so sure that's the case anymore. I think there's the shroud of hopelessness and despair that has come over our country, and I think it's reliant on community by community to get back to the basics. Don't look to Washington, because I think division and factionalism are what they're counting on to keep their unbelievable growth enterprise up and running. And I know I sound like I'm just completely down on federal government, but you know, I've watched it unfold. My own grandmother went to work. She was like the forerunner of a career girl. She went to work in the 1930s, had a 30-year career in the Department of Commerce, retired in her 50s, lived to be 97, and was completely compensated by the government for 40-some-odd years, like 10 years longer than she worked. It is a great gig, and God bless and good for you all the people that have been able to access that, and the politicians that continue to do it. But I think looking to them for answers is just a waste of time. Every major republic that's been a representative kind of government attempt in history has come unraveled by factionalism. And that's what we're experiencing here. But again, for the growth of big government, it's pretty clear to me that this is what they thrive on in terms of their longevity and their opportunities continuing. So a community-based group to get in and find out about the kids in their communities and make opportunities available to them. There's been a lot of talk about school vouchers. We spend untold billions of dollars in this country on public education. And I don't think anybody can stand up right now and say that overall public education is succeeding. Our rates of people that are struggling and really not getting quality educations and dropping out of schools is really an alarming, astounding number. So, you know, that's some of the, that's to me the main focus that would need to be on how do we kind of restructure education in our community, not in the country. We don't need departments and commissions and studies. We need people that are actually going to roll up their sleeves and do something. And again, I know it's idealistic, But if a couple of communities got ambitious, and some of the best and brightest and leaders in that community and some of the more successful people just gave a little bit of time and money and effort for their fellow citizens, you know, I think the results could be, you know, really something really amazing. And if it caught on in a few places, I can see it kind of sweeping to wildfire. Again, you look at the fact that, you know, we look to government to just throw money at problems, and it gets misdirected and it gets in the wrong hands. But I can't help but think that Americans have to be tired of watching the political process play out. I don't know about the exact numbers, but I can tell you that in really contested hotbed Senate races that are going on right now, let's say Georgia, where interim Senator Raphael Warnock is trying to retain his seat against upstart politician and former Heisman Trophy winner Herschel Walker, there's going to be probably $300 to $350 million collectively spent in that race for that seat. That's insane. Think about that. And that's just one example. Every congressional seat, every Senate seat. Now it's even getting down to local politics. We're having all these problems with these progressive district attorneys that are basically getting in office because they have a funding mechanism that's pumping tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars into local races, which tip the scales in their favor. And look at the results. I'm just pointing all this out because the political process itself and how valuable those spots are, that is just an insane way economically to conduct our business in this country. Think of the conventions and the primaries and all of the groundwork and everything that goes into just securing a seat. It was not the concept that our forefathers imagined. It's a big money industry, and Washington is the international headquarters for the greatest growth enterprise ever devised by man, the federal government. So if everything could kind of be reimagined again and get back away from Washington, get back into our own communities, and it's got to start somewhere. I know that, again, what I'm proposing is something that most people are saying, well, that'll never happen. You know, it would be nice that some of those community leaders and people that have been successful in business and other enterprises, you know, both from a commercial and a human standpoint, would get more involved in politics and go up and do the job. Everybody says, well, we need term limits. Well, you're not going to get term limits voted in by people who would be limiting their own terms. They don't want to get off the gravy train. The only way this is ever going to happen is people that are responsible and go there on a mission to serve their term, to make the necessary reforms to get us back on track, is the only solution. And when you bring that up to somebody in a discussion, they say, well, they could never win because they wouldn't have the money behind them from corporations and entities and outside interests. But the American people have to decide at some point, enough. This system's out of control. We need to get back and solve the problems in our communities, invest in our communities, in resources and in facilities and all the different things, schools and educational opportunities, scholarships. There's just so much, there's still such economic wealth and prosperity in this country, but it's being misdirected in completely the wrong way. And it's going to take a movement of the American people. The American Dream Initiative is what I like to refer to it as, for us to get back on track. It's just, I apologize. I know this is some rambling thoughts, but this is need to know. And this is something that I feel is important that you need to know and think about. And if you didn't get anything out of this other than the fact that, you know, why can't we reimagine things? Why can't we go in a different direction? Why can't we at least have some conversations again? not national, not on television, not in highly public arenas in terms of trying to get publicity and gain, you know, power for ourselves. But the power of the people is something that we've really gotten away from. And I don't care what color you are. I don't care what your religion is. I don't care what your ideological opinion is. If you don't think our children are important enough to invest in and set on the right path, then you really are dooming the future, not only for them, but all future generations. Because if we want to turn this country into a struggling economic, basically, for lack of a better term, third world country, then we need to stay on the path we're on right now, because I don't want to be a doomsayer, but that's the direction we're heading. We need to get together as American people, embrace our brothers and sisters, and come up with a collective way to kind of, from a grassroots beginning, just start building blocks, solve one problem at a time, make one triumphant move to turn things around. And again, I kind of feel like I'm just dreaming here, but that's a dream that I have that I would really like to see at least put into motion in a couple of places, because once something like this works, a groundswell could develop. So that's what I thought you maybe needed to know this week. Again, apologize for kind of the rambling nature of this, but this is from the heart. I didn't have this rehearsed. I don't, it's not as polished as I like my normal broadcast to be, but I hope you at least have a twinge of thought of saying we need to stop looking to Washington, because Ronald Reagan was absolutely correct. Government is the problem, and we need to get back to being the American people and being shoulder to shoulder with each other to make things better. I'm Kip Kiefer. Thank you all so much. It's such a privilege to be on Tony Curry Radio, where I can express thoughts such as these. And if you have thoughts, we've got a Facebook page up and running, Need to Know. Would love to have you log on and like that page and leave your comments. We will see you again next week. Have a fantastic next couple of days, everybody, and God bless you.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.